Hi, my name is Jared Lee. I'm the pastor of Bismarck Community Church, and I had the privilege of participating in a conversation today about community with Assistant Pastor Jim, my wife Lyra, his wife Chantel, just to talk about community, what it is, what it is like, what are some of the benefits, what are some of the costs. Hopefully you'll listen and be encouraged to find community. Either here, if you'd like, we'd love to have you participate, become a part of our community, Bismarck Community Church, or somewhere else. But the goal is always finding deeper and authentic Christian community that not only exists for the sake of itself, but for the sake of Christ, for the sake of our souls pushing us closer and closer toward the gospel. Hopefully you will learn about some of that as we go along. You can find us online at bismarckcc.org and Twitter and Facebook. We're bismarckcc. You can find us all around different places. We'd love to hear from you if you have any thoughts about this podcast or really anything else. I'd love to interact with you. I hope you enjoy listening as I first introduce our guests and get into this topic of community. Today, Jim, of course, is here, as he's been on all the ones so far. Jim and I have done together. We always have guests, so Jim, say hello.
Hello. Hello.
And our other guests for this community series is Jim's wife, Chantel.
Yes.
Yay.
Hi.
Who you can know from the Advent series.
Yeah.
And then we also brought in my wife, Lyra.
Hello.
Yay.
Hey, Lyra.
Hi.
So, Lyra, tell us a little something about you.
Well.
Put her on the spot.
I'm married to Jared. And we have three kids, and one is now an adult, and he just moved out of the house this week. And the other two are at home right now because we homeschool, and they're doing their work, hopefully, while I'm here at this podcast.
Nice. That's a big adjustment, right? Having a kid that just moved out.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah.
I was telling Jared this morning how Cohen, our little kiddo, he just turned 4 months, and I'm already worried about when he's going to have to move out. So I'm just like...
Just slow down.
Right, yeah, and it's just like, enjoy the moments, because like he will hopefully, you know, graduate and move out one day, but I'm already like kind of dreading that, you know. And it just, yeah, he's already 4 months, and I'm like, man, it's gone
by.
He'll
be with us till he's 30.
Yeah, 30.
In your basement.
That should be a good poll question. What's the appropriate age for a kid to move out? Is it 30?
Is it okay to evict your child when they're in their
40s? Yes. And yes, I think it is okay.
Yeah. That made the news recently.
I know.
Did you see that?
I heard about that.
Yeah. Yeah, he was
60 some years.
That was some way different. We were talking about your sister was telling us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was in his 60s and his parents evicted him. So there's that. This guy was, I think, in his 40s and his parents had to evict him from their house. Yeah. Yeah, I told my boys you'd get evicted long before that. obviously, I thought this would be cool to have the four of us because I think we've got a little bit of a community here. We know each other, we're involved in each other's lives a little bit, and there's others in our church and in the community, the broader community that know us. So that was the first thing I just want to talk about is why is community important? What's the purpose? Like, why even bother talking about it? Why is community important?
You've always given what I like go to is like the best visual for why community is important. And I always think of, you always say, they're like a bunch of porcupines huddled together in a rainstorm. Like you need other, you know, you need the other porcupines for warmth and heat to survive the rainstorm. Okay. But you might get prickled, mm-hmm. you know, being in community. So I always think that like community is good. At the same time, it can be difficult. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my first thought. I also would go down the why it's important is because I think it stems out of God who created us. God is in community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we are not a created being. Like, my first thought is we're not a created being that God, like, was, like, missing a part of something, so he created humans to fill God's void, but no, God was in a perfect Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Trinitarian relationship happening, and that humans, we are created out of that, and God creates humans with God's image on us. And so we as humans have that need for community in some capacity. So
it's a little off the topic, but as you said that, I thought, well, isn't that in God's image, a husband and wife in community create other community?
Yeah. I mean,
not always, obviously, the world's broken and there's all that we talk about, but that is the order of things. It's interesting that you see that in nature, the community replicates community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we can go down some paths, but I want to hear what Lyra and Chantel think.
Yeah, I think the first thing that popped into my mind right when you asked that question was, and I can't remember exactly where it is, it must be one of the Proverbs, but just that the idea of, like, you know, if two lie down together, they can keep warm, but if one lies down, you know, mm-hmm. not so much. And a cord made of three strands is not quickly broken. And just the idea that we need community for support, like we can do things together that we just can't do by ourselves. And I was thinking of, you know, the creation narrative too, when after, you know, God created Adam and all the animals and everything, you know, relatively just absolutely, you know, perfect. And yet it just, it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. Like, he just wasn't supposed to be alone. There was supposed to be another person with him, you know, the beginnings of community. And just, I think too, echoing a little bit of what Jim was saying, that, I think, with the image of God, I think each person is a bearer of the image of God, but also in community, I think we also reflect even a fuller picture of that, because, you know, like Jim was saying, we are created by a God who basically is community, is relationship, and so when we're in relationship and community, we're also reflecting that image.
Mm. Lyra, any thoughts?
Well, that just ties in with what I was thinking, that we're created for community. We're not meant to do it alone. And that includes weeping together and rejoicing together, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah. You look like you want to say more.
It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just jump in real quick. Like, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he has a book called Doing Life Together. Life Together. But I think of, like, doing, you know, like, it's something, like, we are created to, you know. And even the need for community, I think there could be even a strong push that we need community even more today in a time where we have, like, I mean, we're watching this on Facebook. We can live stream stuff. We can do all these things that give us the sense that we're part of community, but the statistics are saying that we are more alone and isolated than we've ever been before. And the community takes us out of isolation, and it's what we need. And so I'm just like, I mean, this is a topic where it is difficult to go be in community, but it's what we need.
Right, absolutely.
Because, you know, it could be so easy to just be behind a computer or my phone or my iPad or something and enjoy the comfort of that.
Feel like you're connected.
Yeah, you could feel like you're connected, but the reality is there's a more full connection that can be made. There, you can never beat a face-to-face, but it's
interesting you said that. this kind of goes with what everybody said, and this is a Bonhoeffer quote from the book Life Together. He said, Christian brotherhood is not an ideal which we must realize. It's not some thing out there that we have to build. He said, it is rather a reality created by God in Christ in which we may participate. So it is there if we want to participate in it.
Yeah.
And I think it's really sad that I think more people are not plugged into community than are. I mean, I just think people think, oh, well, I'm married, I have my spouse, and I have my kids, and I'm good, but you need more than that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, it's like that mentality, like it's me and Jesus, and that's all.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need the church, but I've got Jesus. I don't need the church. I don't need my brothers and sisters in Christ, as if like that is enough. But like, when that happens, it's almost like your brothers and sisters in Christ are completely missing out on the gift that you are, while at the same time, like, you're missing out on the gifts that your brothers and sisters are. And like Chantel was saying, like, something with community brings a fullness, like, that we don't have on our own.
Yeah. But at the same time, it requires vulnerability.
Absolutely.
So you can have community, but not really have community, like, if you're not willing to.
I just have to say, Lear just did air quotes on that first community, meaning you can think you're in community, you can feel like, but not actually. So,
but without vulnerability, you don't really have community.
Flesh that out a little bit more. How so?
Well, I mean, you can be with people and claim that everything's okay and just be very surfacey, and then you're not going to be sharing what's really going on in your life, and they're not going to be willing to share with you. Like, if everybody stays on that level, then it's just going to stay there, and you're not going to, like, reap the benefits of what community really can be.
Right. I think it's Tim Keller where I originally got this from, but that thing I say about how we need to be known and loved. We're terrified of being known and not loved, and so we'll settle for being loved but not known. And that's not community. If you're loved but not known, that's not, you're not even in there in that equation. That's not you.
Yeah, we had a little discussion in our K group yesterday just about kind of vulnerability and transparency, and just how, you know, there can be a little bit of a difference there, and how it seems like, you know, culturally, you know, everybody's like, yeah, let's be real and let's be authentic, and we just champion that, and so it's kind of like, blah, emotional vomit all over the place, and here's all my stuff, and here's all my drama.
Like, deal with it.
Yeah. Almost kind of like in your face a little bit, like, here I am, and I'm all, you know, flawed and just a disaster, and, you know, here's all my stuff that normally you shouldn't know about me until we've been friends for, like, you know, at least a year or something. But here it is, the second I meet you, and like, oh, you're so brave, way to go. And it's like, well, that's transparency. That's not vulnerability, because vulnerability invites input, and it requires risk. If you're not in a relationship with the people you're being transparent with, there's no risk there. Yeah. You know, whether they like you or not, or reject you or not, it's like, well, whatever. And it's almost kind of a ploy to be like, well, I'm sharing all this stuff about me, and so now you can't say anything about it.
It's almost like a fake vulnerability.
Yeah, I've revealed it all to you. Yeah. Here's all my issues, but, you know, now you can't say anything to me about it, and you just have to accept.
You have to accept it all.
And I responded to that yesterday and saying it's kind of like a president who's running for presidency. They write a book right before they, like, go on their campaign run, and in that book they say, like, these are all the things I've done, or, like, you know, the bad things, or, like, I tried or experimented with this in college or whatever, so that if that was to ever come up during their presidency, they're almost like, I already addressed that, you know, that issue, so you can never hold me to that. And it's almost like a fake vulnerability.
Yeah, it's like, really, it's a defense mechanism, because it's putting up a wall to say, well, I'm blah, you know, here it all is, I'm sharing all this, and but you're not allowed to speak into my life about any of it. Mm-hmm. But I shared it all with you, so I'm brave.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's the trend on social media.
Yes.
Right now.
Yeah, you know? There's not really any risk involved.
Right. What would be interesting is to look at the transparency that you see put out there and then find out how many people are those people who are being so transparent. How many people do they actually have real relationships with where they can be vulnerable rather than just transparent?
Mm-hmm. I actually have a theory that, you know, in a prior generation, I think there was a sense of, like, you know, especially within the church, of righteousness. Like, you keep all your mess under wraps. You know, look how great I am. Mm. Like, you might go home and be a tyrant in your home, or, you know, a horrible alcoholic or whatever, but you're an elder in the church and you've got this exterior appearance of perfection, right? Well, that may have been an earlier generation's sort of issues. I think now it's almost the opposite. I think that's the new righteousness. Look how good I am. Look how great I am. I'm willing to be transparent and tell you all my flaws. I'm not hiding anything. I'm not going to pretend to be some super spiritual person. Look at me. Now, I'm not necessarily willing to change or invite you into that story, but, you know, it's the same. I think it's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like it's the hip, or it's the authentic thing to do, is to just be transparent up front, you know. Mm-hmm. But that comes with any relationship, though. You're going to be transparent, you're going to be vulnerable, mm-hmm. and that takes time, you know.
Yeah, you can't manufacture that.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask this then. How can community help us grow beyond that?
Grow beyond the...
The transparency, the faith.
Because transparency, like, there needs to be some components of transparency. You know,
but beyond, sort of enter into a place of growth, as opposed to that.
I don't think you can replace.
Huh?
Turn your volume off on that.
Was it echoing?
Something is echoing.
On.
Sorry.
What?
That's okay. A little technical. Sorry. Go on.
No, yeah, I was just thinking, sir, yeah, you can't replace time spent together and shared experiences in, like, an intentional pursuing relationship. You can't have the fruits of community without really investing in community, and you just can't fake that. You know, you have to be present. You have to be with people. You have to go through experiences together. You have to have an actual relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For transparency to even matter, and then for that to really be translated into vulnerability, where now we have a relationship and we have a right to, you know, share with each other and speak into each other's lives, and it matters because we have a relationship now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's definitely something about experiencing something with people together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, I work with some of the students here at the church, and even like, we're doing a men's retreat coming up. But there is something about doing something together with people that like, I think of all the most meaningful when I think of community that happened in my life, the most transformative things were with groups of people experiencing something together. Like when I was in my formative, like, high school years, going to a camp together, like all those camp, like, we did something. And then what was really cool is when, you know, I had relationships I had these friendship relationships with, you know, a group of, like, high school guys. And when one of us shared something vulnerable, it was almost like everybody started sharing. But we had a lot of history together, but we couldn't have been at that vulnerable spot if we didn't have the years of growing up together. And so, like, I think people are like, yeah, I want community, I know how important it is, But sometimes we just want all the benefits and vulnerability, or like being able to like have all the benefits of community, but it's like I really don't want to put all the time that's actually required mm-hmm. for community, the time that the prickling, the difficultness.
That's I want to retire, but I don't want to save my money.
Or I don't want to work.
Or yeah. right.
I don't want to work or save my money, but I want all the benefits of, mm-hmm. you know, everyone's like, yeah, community, it's great. But like real community is difficult. Sometimes it's boring, mm-hmm. but it's just that consistent thing that you're doing and doing, you know, and eventually it comes. So that, like, if something comes up in your life, both good or bad, people come to you, or they're there for you because they know you. They bring you meals, or you bring them meals, you know, something like that. But that takes time, mm-hmm. you know.
And it takes intentionality. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to put it on the calendar. I mean, I know Chantel and I for quite a few months had it on the calendar. Every Tuesday we get together, and I had that, you know, with my friend Terry, who is no longer with us, but just that making the time mm-hmm. to do it. Mm-hmm. So,
and it pays off.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Because you can see the intimacy of that friendship in Lara and Terry's story too, and that was worth every minute of that intentionality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, even that, just like regular rhythms of community, you know, mm-hmm. Like you talk about you and Chantel or you and Lara. I mean, I even think of like I work with Jared every Tuesday. You know, we have an elders meeting, but then we have it's called Jared and Jim like meeting, and there are things
has such cute names for everything.
Yeah, but there are times where like I know I'm really frustrating Jared, but he knows how good or how much he needs me.
I'm so glad to hear you say that out loud, Jim.
But then it goes both ways, because then there's things Jared, like I need Jared. Even though he laughs like he doesn't need me, like or he probably goes home and is like, I'm so frustrated with Jim, but I know how much I need him.
He knows how much he needs.
You know, but it's been a year, but it's even been longer than that.
Yeah.
But Jared, you know, he's been a part of, you know, Chantel and I's wedding. He's been a part of like our son's baptism. He's been a part of a lot of very meaningful things, but it's taken like time where I would trust Jared with my life, but when I first met Jared, I wouldn't have trusted him with my life because I didn't know him, you know. But like, I spend probably more regular time with him, and I work, you know, and so like, it takes time.
It does,
you know,
and it takes a recognition in the midst of it. Like, you're absolutely right. I mean, you're darn right. I've gone home at times frustrated. I can tell you what, I've never gone, with you, Jim.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've never gone home at night wishing you weren't here.
Yeah.
Because there's a need. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I've gone home feeling the pokes from your porcupine quills. Yeah. You've gone home feeling mine.
Yeah.
But I've also gone home knowing you kept me warm that day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's...
Cool. And then we're sitting here... You and I, we have like a work relationship. Mm-hmm. We're sitting, like I'm sitting next to my spouse. You're sitting next to your spouse. Like these, you know, these people that we're doing life with,
mm-hmm.
you know, our spouses. And they're the ones that poke us too.
Darn right.
You know, and.
Although she never did.
Right, right. Lyra never, yeah.
Lyra does not poke me at all.
Right. you know, but like it's a different relational,
mm-hmm.
like, community, mm-hmm. you know.
I'm just thinking about that it takes a mutual understanding that you're both there for the good of the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Community is life. It's a place where we can find connection with other people, a place we can find meaning, a place we can find rest. These are important things, I think, to wrestle with as Christians, and you know what, maybe even as non-Christian, if you are exploring the faith, wondering what good it would do you, why it matters, I think there is something in Christian community that is unique, I really do, to other sorts of community. I'm a big believer in community of all kinds, but I think there's something unique to be found in Christian community that maybe can't be found in other places. More on that in the next episode, why Christian community is different and unique, and why we can't make community the goal of all things, and it still remains important. So please, if you're not already, subscribe to this in iTunes, and you can be notified when the next one comes out, or get our app. Search your app store for Bismarck CC or Bismarck Community Church, and you can download our app and listen there to the next episode. If you have any questions or want to reach out, please let me know. I would love to hear from you and interact with you and learn what it is to be in community with you as well. Have a great day.